here we bring in Elliot Friedman, and he's a veteran at this, because I'll tell you why I know this. Every damn time the NHL playoffs are about to start, they send him and Kiprios and Healy and other people out to a Blue Jays game, and they're like, oh my God, it's the Hockey Night in Canada panel, and they're all watching it. You know they do this, so what's your advice? How do I get on? I don't get a dollar more. I want to promote the morning show. It's fall ratings. I want on. What do I do? Who do I talk to?
I don't think you need to talk to anybody. I think just a good face paint will do the job just
but
fine.
But everybody's going to have that. Oh, my God. Tim and Sid are in the outfield at a random Jays-Rays game. How did they get there? When do they decide to do this? When's the last time Sid watched a Jays game? Those are questions that come up from... Well, don't laugh. Those are questions that come up from time to time. So I'm going to go to the right people on this. I just need a push in the right direction.
I think you need to paint yourself a sign that says, I am Greg Brady. I co-host the broadcast. You would get on. People might laugh, but you'd get on. How embarrassed do you want to be and also be on? Because there are other ways.
I met Dina Pugliese once. That's my sign.
Close enough.
Okay, that's all. I love Roger Peterson. Like, I'll do anything. I want to get on badly. Rob Falds is going to call
And
I don't...
Go with Elliot.
Are you going to the Davis Cup later?
Yes, actually, I am going today.
Oh, my God.
Okay, don't walk in and
say
you walk
in
with Brady.
Can I sit within five rows of you? Like, you need one of those 4K TVs to see me, because it's going to focus in on you and go... Big year coming up, Hockey Night in Canada, back on the panel, 31 Thoughts, and I'll be like, and there's another guy that works on the radio, on AM radio.
What if they didn't even say that? Like, they put you both on screen, they talked all about Elliot and did not mention you at all.
What if I'm bringing him a Pepsi and some, like, chicken? I don't know. I could be one of those wait staff in the in-seat wait.
Would you sit next to me if I was wearing one of those I'm with stupid t-shirts?
Yes, you're acting like there's Chris Rock and somebody you remember when James Cebulski interviewed Bruce Willis and he was with that kid and everyone's like, who's the kid? What is going on here? We've never heard of this guy and we've never seen him since. Very strange.
No, I'll just tell you, that Cebulski-Willis interview, I don't remember that for the kid. I remember that for James trying yippee-ki-yay and Willis actually finishing the line.
We play that clip every 6 months on the show. It is still, it's fantastic.
Oh,
and then
awesome.
And then you remember Chuck. Chuck's like, we apologize for that horrifying incident. He's like Joe Buck. He's like, that is a disgusting act of obscenity from Bruce Willis. Like, it was great. Great.
You know, the funny thing about that is, you know, this whole thing you're talking about, Greg, is that we did that only once right before the playoffs. We went to a Jay game, and when they took the shot at us, Kelly and I just happened to take a giant swig of beer.
I think that's true. I remember this now. Yes.
And I remember when we saw the next day we came in, like, it was asked of us, you couldn't have put those down for 2 minutes.
I know.
They put Kelly in some kind
of program the very next morning, and I didn't think that was right.
I have news for you. It didn't work.
That is Elliot Friedman, our insider, NHL on Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. I feel like I should say thank you, Elliot. It was great talking with you.
Does he really want to weigh in on Dylan DeMello and the kid from Ann Arbor?
You know what?
I don't know.
I was thinking about the Eugene Melnyk questionable video where he's pumping up the fans.
Clarify which one.
I know. Well, no, and there, you know, a lot of one of the number one criticism is that he never talked about Carlson. And I think we have a fair idea now why. He's got a reason.
They
got
to retape it now.
No, bad idea.
You know, I think as we were sitting there and we're watching this and he didn't mention his name and he talked about the big trade, like with 2020 hindsight, we know that they knew exactly what was about to occur, right? So, you know, that's the problem right now, guys, is that, you know, so Ottawa's, they had that rookie tournament last week in Montreal with the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens and the Senators. And a couple guys told me that Ottawa's young players, their best prospects, were the best players there. They were really good. And the problem is nobody wants to hear that right now. There is such a crisis of consumer confidence in the ownership of Eugene Melnyk that, you know, the fans don't want to hear anything good about the team. And so you can make this trade yesterday and it just doesn't matter because all they do is they, they think of the video, they think of Melnick, and they just see red. And I think it's a very difficult place for an organization to be. They're just not buying anything the Senators are selling while he's the owner.
Could they have done anything during the season and at trade deadline when it was seemed so close with Tampa? They clearly had conversations with Vegas and other teams. I don't hate this deal. And like you said, Dorian was getting squashed like a bug no matter what. And I'd say this, if a couple of those players turn out, if the kid from University of Michigan turns out and he's 80%, I said this on the air, 80% of Joe Pavelski, and the Sharks go out in the second round, the Sens look like they made a pretty good deal. It's a really hard deal to evaluate right now.
Well, it is, but it's interesting you say that because I don't think there was ever a Tampa deal close. But I do think, and I was told by multiple people, that aside from the deal that happened yesterday, the closest they ever came was Vegas at the deadline. And the problem with that deal, I was told, is that it was a good business deal for the Senators, but it was not a good hockey deal, which means that Bobby Ryan was included and the return wasn't that good, but they would have, gotten rid of Ryan's contract. If 8 months ago the owner had decided it wasn't important to include Bobby Ryan, but he just kind of made the deal that they did yesterday, just Carlson with Vegas, I bet you that the return would have been better and they would have been in a much better situation. And I think that that's probably the best question, Craig. Mm-hmm. If 8 months ago they had said, you know what, we'll just worry about trading Carlson and not worrying about Ryan, they probably would have had a better deal.
One of the problems here is, and I tried. I tried to find a way to get him on the Leafs, but Brady would have none of it. It wasn't going to fit in. Not past this year. Not financially. Not happening. No way, no how. And that's the problem. Trying to fit him onto other National Hockey League teams where you trade him and he stays with that team, it's going to be difficult for San Jose. It almost seems like Vegas was the place to trade him because he'll probably end up there.
I think what's interesting about that is someday I would like to, take Kyle Dubas and slip some truth serum into whatever he's drinking and say, did you call Ottawa and offer to take Carlson for 1 year? This is a really unique season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've got, obviously you've got Tavares. You're going to try to solve the Nylander problem. And you've got Matthews and Marner in the last year of your ELCs. It's a very unique opportunity. And they could, if they wanted to, go out and get someone like a Carlson, like a Panarin. They've got the assets to say, we're going to try this for 1 year, and we'll go for it, and we'll worry about everything else in 12 months. Dubas strikes me as the kind of different thinker who would try something like that. But the one thing is, look, you look at that deal yesterday, and Elliot, you look at those two stipulations on the end of the deal. If he goes to the Eastern Conference this season, we get an extra first round draft pick. That says to me they didn't want Carlson in the East, and there was going to be a premium to do it. And I could absolutely see Ottawa saying, we're not sending Carlson to Tampa. And we're not sending him to Toronto.
Wow. Elliot Friedman, our guest, 8:16. By the way, next Tuesday, the Leafs are on the ice, and they're on Sportsnet 7:30 for the Kraft Hockeyville game in Lucan, Ontario, against the Sens. They're in Ottawa the very next night. We've been so packed all morning. I'm waiting to sort of unpack this Robin Leonard story that was in The Athletic. And I have a couple thoughts on it. One is I can't – the people in Buffalo, the prevailing thought is, oh, my goodness, people feel awful now for being – critical, but it's your job to. If a goalie's not playing well, you can't get behind the scenes and know all this stuff. For our listeners who don't know, he wrote a thing yesterday. He said, I'm an addict, alcohol, bipolar, ADHD, PTSD, trauma. He said, his quote, I've never had a sober season of hockey my entire career. Now, I follow that up, and they're excited they have Carter Hutton there, but I follow that up to ask, I don't know, we are a way more sensitive society than we ever have been, and I'm saying that's good, not bad, but I wonder if the Islanders, if he doesn't have a deal, can he get out in front of all this? Was there full disclosure with the Isles and Lou Lamoriello, or is there any element at all where the Isles are kind of blindsided by some of this. They gave him a one-year deal, $1.5 million backup. He's obviously got to earn his way back to be considered a good goalie again. But any element where the Islanders are like, oh, good. Like, we didn't know half of this stuff.
You know, I think the Islanders would be okay, probably because it's a one-year deal and nothing longer. You know, I thought it was a beautiful article.
Yeah.
I thought it was great that Robin Leonard did it. I was very impressed. You know, the guy who I was most impressed with, I think, aside from Leonard, was the GM of the Buffalo Sabres, Jason Botterill,
right,
who, you know, obviously found out about this. And even though he let Leonard walk, he has called him a couple of times just to say, you know, how you doing? And obviously, Leonard really appreciated it. You know, it's, you know, Greg, there was one guy, a friend of mine, who called me yesterday and he said, did you read the article? And I said, sure. And he goes, you know, what do you think? We talked about it. And he said the part that made him the angriest is that, you know, before Leonard came out with and admitted his issue, there was a team that met with him and said, you know, you have a terrible reputation and you've got one chance. And if you blow it, you're gone. And he said, that's a terrible thing. Like, this guy has all these problems and he's talking about how they talk about him. And you know what? Like, I said, the problem with that is that at the time, Leonard hadn't admitted it. And, you know, Leonard had not a great reputation. It is true. What he talks about is true. And the Sabres made a big investment in him, and they constantly felt there were problems with he was getting upset or his attitude or whatever the case was. And it's obvious that nobody knew the full picture. Now, I think that people will look at Leonard differently now, but they'll look at him differently in a good way. And they'll say, okay, now we have a better understanding of this. He's trying to grab a hold of this. And I think people will probably be more patient. But, you know, if it was a long-term deal, Greg, I could see the possibility that there was a bit of a problem, but I just don't think at this particular stage Leonard was going to get a long-term deal from anyone.
And I'm sure Elliott saw players in Montreal. I mean, I watched that Bob Probert thing, and now maybe we look at it differently, but no one blamed the Red Wings. They enabled him. They did everything they could. They said, hey, you be you, and eventually they just gave up because when someone – it's Johnny Manziel, right? Why can't he get a job in the NFL? Because no one trusts him, and it doesn't matter what he says about, I'm addicted to this, I'm bipolar. You still – you can't put someone in that position of responsibility, and especially Probert was dangerous. He was obviously all over the place with substance problems, and the Red Wings said enough. Like, it's, you don't have to stay in a relationship where someone is that out of control, so you sure don't have to employ a guy for millions of dollars.
No, you don't. You know, I think the Sabres obviously wanted it to work with Leonard, and you know, remember he had that game in Toronto where him and Dan Bylsma got mad at each other.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
You know, behind the scenes, you know, they battled with them, but they tried to make it work. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I'm sure, you know, the one thing I do believe, Greg, is that people probably suspected that maybe there was something like that. Leonard always had a great reputation in terms of his ability. People would say this guy has a chance to be a great goaltender, but they always questioned his temper, his ability to keep calm. And I'm sure that they, if they didn't know the extent of what he was battling, they probably had an idea that there was something. And, you know, I'll tell you, a few years ago, he got injured late in the season. He couldn't train, and he showed up in Buffalo, and he weighed, and he was heavy. And it affected his season. He couldn't get going. And, you know, I mentioned on the air, and I think I wrote in my blog, that Leonard's been battling, you know, just weight issues all year because he couldn't, you know, he was hurt and he couldn't get into shape all summer. And somebody told me that he got mad. And so I walked up to him the next time I was in Buffalo, and I said, Robin, you know, I introduced myself. I heard you were upset with something I said. And he looked at me and he goes, yes, I was. And we talked it all out, but he was good about it. And he just said, you know, I appreciate you coming up and introducing yourself, and because I was mad about what you wrote. So I think I'm not surprised he would do that yesterday, Greg, because he strikes me as a guy who's like, okay, I've got this problem here, and I'm happy to deal with it, and I would just like to, you know, I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. So I'm happy he did it. I hope it's good for him and his family. But from what I know about him, I'm not surprised that he wouldn't be a guy who'd be afraid to come out and tell everybody that he's dealing with this.
Elliot Friedman, we got half a minute. When's the 31 Thoughts podcast coming back?
Podcast comes out Wednesday. The blog comes out today.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us.
See you at Davis Cup. Cameras
Thanks,
on.
Guys. Yeah, cameras on. I'm with stupid.
Me or you? That's not
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, it depends
it's
where the arrow's pointing,
flip.
Doesn't it?
Does, yeah,
sit on the other side.
It's like a possession arrow in the NBA. You want to keep flipping it
That's right.
One way or the other.
All right. Elliot Friedman, there you go.